Last year, I was able to help build a robot for a local competition. We got 6 weeks to build the robot, starting in January, ending mid-February. We spent the entire time working on a robot that we believed would be very effective in the two competitions. We all worked to make the robot, devoting all our resources to it. We got to the first of the two competitions, put the finishing touches on the robot, and put it on the field. The game started, and the robot failed completely. It couldn't move for the first two games, and even after that, it could only drive. The part designed to actually win the game did not work at all. It conformed all the rules of the competition, but the design itself was flawed. Nothing could change what that construct could actually do. Not what it was intended to do, not what you want it to do, not what it seems like it does or should do. Once, I read an article that claimed that there was no goodness in humans. Every choice we made was to selfishly avoid consequences. These consequences, it explained, may be external, prison, or internal, disappointment. This article shocked me. A world where there was no good, only selfishness and fear, was a terrible world. And for a moment, I thought the article had uncovered a miserable truth. Perhaps it had, but if so, it is only a minute fraction of the truth there is to find. Some people may see that as the whole truth, but there must be more. More than simply people being afraid of doing something wrong. Some of the readings today may at first seem only to support this idea. They speak of God's wrath at our mistakes, tearing us down if we should choose the wrong ideals with which to build our lives. They seem to assert that God is scaring us into good behavior. But the psalm and the gospel are the exact opposite. One asks for strength from God so they can continue to do what is right. The other reveals that the only true way of following God's teachings means applying them to all beings, not just those that the church or society or your own beliefs dictate. Yet neither of these readings mention punishments, which I find intriguing, especially in contrast to the other two readings, which list rules of what not to do and what happens if you mess up. This collection seems contradictory, but it isn't. God loves us. That is the single most important thing to remember when we pray and seek to follow his teachings. Today's psalm reminds us that he is there to help and guide us, especially when we are lost. He warns us of the dangers of building our lives on false ideals, lies, and other things that betray God. Not so that we fear to do that so, but so we understand the inherent emptiness of such an existence and how eventually it will fall down around us. He warns us thus, but even to those who have left him entirely can return once they are torn down from their false pedestals of pride. In turn, Matthew challenges the notion that you must be both good to your friends and hostile to your enemies, insisting instead that all things are God's creatures and all deserve his love and your love. We cannot believe that we, as humans, will always be right, our machinations always perfect. This may be a challenge, but again, he is by our side to help us hold faith and stay true if we can but accept his help. Finally, he lists these rules of what not to do, but it is not to scare us from the prospect of eternal torment, but to give us a set of guidelines with which to love. He gives us these not so we may shy away from the consequences of disobeying him, but so we can aspire to join him in his perfection. These guidelines, when followed, ensure that things we do to improve the world do not, in fact, make the world a worse place, despite our best intentions. Ultimately, We should not be trying to shy away from the threats we perceive, but trying to live up the faith God has in our potential, even after we have left Him so many times. Each time He forgives one of our faults, we should seek to improve ourselves, and we should try to thank Him for His forgiveness by coming even closer to Him. Our first failure of the competition ended our first robot. We completely restarted. We had a new idea, a new design, and new parts. Our first failure forced us to take a new look at the competition and our goals. But we had two competitions to play the game. Our first robot failed, so we made another one. We got a second chance, and that chance was very successful. In some ways, perhaps it was inevitable that we did fail. That failure ended better for us than any mediocre success could have. That is our challenge. Think not of failing God, but rather, when you do, as is inevitable for all of us, accept His forgiveness and seek His aid in coming closer to Him. May God's loved ones say, Amen. Amen.